We're going to firstly turn to the Psalm 78, just because of what David has been saying to us. At the moment, I'm going through all of the Psalms in my readings. Like most people, probably you come on wee points and wee things that you highlight and put wee comments at and whatever. I'm sure you all have your own way of doing your Bible studies. But there's just a couple of thoughts I want to leave with us from the Psalms tonight. And our first one will be from the Psalm 78. As you are well aware, the Psalms were written in the main, not each every one of them, but a good number of them are attributed obviously to David. And David was just a person like ourselves. David was one who knows all about politics. He learned that politics in the family, as being the youngest son, and anybody that's the youngest in a family, and especially in a farming family or hard-working family, will know what that's like, perhaps, to be the youngest. He knows the politics that happened in the palace and all the intrigue that goes with being a leader. He also had to suffer many different practices in his family and his friends. There was those that he trusted. He was also let down by many. He was betrayed by many. And he knows exactly what that was like. He knows the problems of people. He had to be a judge as well. He had to make decisions sometimes, some very difficult decisions, to sort out problems that were brought to him as being the king. And ultimately, when you're in that position, everybody looks to you eventually for the final answer, so they have somebody else to blame rather than themselves. So he would have got a lot of problems brought to him. A lot of difficult decisions to make in life. And then, of course, David was a human being just like us as well. He was a sinner saved by grace, and he knows what it is to be attacked by temptation. He knows what it was to give in. And what's worse, probably the most of us, is his has been published for all the world to see. And God's word, the fatal flaws, the weaknesses, the surrenders, the sin. And what followed that sin as well is all there for us all to read. And yet, coming to the Psalms, just in me, a layman's view of things, one of the things that I picked that goes right through the Psalms is that no matter what it is he's writing about or the Psalms that he's writing, he directs everybody's focus away from all of these different things in life to God. He draws us right over to God every single time. That instead of looking at all the things around us, he directs us to look up and to look forward to God in these situations, to God for guidance, to God for support, to God for strength, to God for grace. He encourages us to pray to God. He encourages us very much so to praise God. But he promotes God in all things. And that's the main theme of what I want to say, just that it encouraged me many times over this last while to take the focus off all that's happening at times and to turn to God. But in Psalm 78, there's just a wee couple of verses I want to leave with you in verse 4, where here David teaches us about children. And it says here in Psalm 78, the verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might not set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. That verse 8 describes most generations, including our own, that we're now living in. From the beginning, and from the creation, basically. But there we can see the mighty influence, right, inference on what he puts upon each believer to teach the ways of God to the future generations. And that's what we're trying to do here in Coleraine through our Sunday school and through our children's work and through our youth work. We're trying to instill into the hearts and minds of boys and girls the ways of God, the commands of God, and to testify to the goodness of God. Now that is not, and I repeat this, that is not to take away the responsibility from the parents. Each Christian parent has a responsibility to teach their children in the ways of God. By how they live, by how they talk, by how they pray, by how they behave, by what they set as their goals in life, what's the most important thing to them. And I used to always say that in the youth fellowship, and they should bear me out in that. It was should always be God first in everything, and that is the duty of parents, certainly, but it is also our duty, because we are one of the very few that I'm aware of Sunday schools that the vast, vast majority of the children are coming from unchristian homes and backgrounds, and they're not going to hear unless they come here and hear about it. So it's our responsibility. So it's just a wee word that I picked up when I was on my readings, but I'm actually moving on very quickly to the Psalm 86. So I want to give most of our time to prayer tonight. And I'm just going to read this psalm and leave the major, major points in it. But that was just a wee aside, I'm afraid, because I couldn't go past that when I'd read it. And then I learned that David was going to be speaking here tonight, so... Psalm 86. And bearing in mind my opening thoughts there about David and what he had went through in life and the emphasis that just runs right through every psalm, it's hard to avoid seeing the way, the direction David leads us through the inspiration of God. But here in Psalm 86, I want you first of all to take a wee look at this prayer of David's that really is at the opening. You can almost, if you really read this, and I'm going to try and read it that way, you can almost read the passion into his prayer. And that's the same in a lot of the Psalms. He was very, very passionate, and it comes out very, very clearly. It wasn't a dry, dull prayer. It wasn't the usual recital of perhaps what he did each morning. This was the real McCoy. This was passion. And you can see in this Psalm that he pleads with God. And you can actually see places where he promotes God yet again, because he's obviously aware that this is being taken down and being sang all around Israel, and he doesn't know how long it's maybe going to be about, and maybe he knew or maybe he didn't that God was going to take it and put it into the scriptures. I don't know. But here you will see him promoting God for who he is, even in this psalm. It just flows that way. So verse 1 of Psalm 86, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." Are we not all poor and needy? "Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend unto the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord." I want to draw your thoughts to that verse 11, because encapsulated there is, first of all, he is drawing on the sovereignty of God. "Teach me thy way, O Lord." He's calling on a sovereign God to guide him and to teach him. But also, in exactly the same verse as you'll find throughout the scriptures, and as Trevor Baxter himself mentioned there actually on Sunday, we have God's sovereignty, but we also have the responsibility of man. We cannot, as Christians, get away from the responsibility of man. And he says in the verse 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord," God's sovereignty, "and I will walk in thy truth." Man's responsibility. We have a responsibility. God commands us to do things. We can't leave everything up to him. We are his salt and his light on this earth. So you have got God's sovereignty, but you have man's responsibility. "Unite my heart to fear thy name." Back to God's sovereignty. Verse 12. "I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God, full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the soul of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me." Amen. I trust that God will bless that reading from his word. I don't think I need to say much more on the passion that's coming out in those words. It teaches us quite a bit about prayer, and we're now going to come to prayer. It teaches us quite a bit about the God that we're coming to pray to, and we indeed have much to pray about. I don't need to go over what David has said, and I've also announced the different services. Just a couple more announcements to leave before.